And a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. I apologize if I sound kind of stopped up or whatever, but I'm running a little low on fuel because of lack of sleep, and I'm in the peanut field, and right before I came in this morning from the baling hay, something happened inside the baler and I had to crawl in there with all that peanut stuff. So of course I'm stopped up, but I took a pill, so I should be good. But current temperature is 75 degrees. The wind south 22 miles an hour, wind gust up to 30 miles an hour, and Nathan Brewer dew point is 67. And I will have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up later in the hour. And looks like we're in for a change of weather, according to the forecast. Lacey texted me at 6 a.m. this morning, and she was going home and going to bed because she's been put on the night shift tonight for the storms that are going to brew up. But I'm going to quote what she says, so anybody questions me, ain't going to happen. I asked her about the storms. She said the storms will likely fire on or east of us. So there you have it. That's all I got to say about the weather till the forecast. Then we can talk about it. We got all kinds of things to talk about, and we get it brought up. But Brandon Hickey must have been out late last night because he texted me at midnight last night with the sales reports from Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction and the Elk City Livestock Auction last Friday. So let's go ahead and do those and get them out of the way. And like I said, I'm just going to come through here and pick out some. I'm not an auctioneer, so I don't want to read all this off for you. Looks like on the steer side, there was some from Pampa that weighed 427, brought $1.86. Looked like there was some from Wheeler that brought that average weight was 563, brought $161.50 per hundred weight. And then on down here towards the bottom, we had from Arapaho, 25 head, average weight $706, $1.41. That was on the steer side. And on the heifer side, let's pick one here. From Wheeler, 441 average weight, 157 per 100 weight. And then we had some from Cheyenne, average weight 543, 141.50 per 100 weight. And some more from Cheyenne, 574 average weight, brought $1.35. And from Hinton, there was 25 head in there. Average weight was $8.96. They brought $1.15. And then his shadow was in my way on his picture. Here we go. Butcher cows were bringing up to $77 per hundred weight. Butcher bulls, $92.50 on the per hundred weight. Bred cows up to $1,400. And there was some pairs that brought $1,725 per pair. All right, let's go to the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Oh, maybe that's why he was out so late last night. They had 1,679 head there. Let's start with the steers. And there was from Cordell, 12 head, 442 average weight, 184.50 per 100 weight. And then from Hobart, down there in Kiowa County, there was 70 head of steers, average weight 602 pounds per individual steer. 168.75 per hundredweight. That's a pretty nice job there. From corn, 172 head. Average weight was 755 pounds, brought 158.35 per hundredweight. And then from Elk City, there was 21 head, weighed 875, $147 per hundredweight. Let's get on over here to the heifers. Man, the heifers sold good yesterday as far as I'm concerned. Elk City, there was 12 head, weighed $581.38. They were winged. And then there was 34 from Chester, $582.146.75 yearlings. Canadian, 29 head, 634 average weight, $140 per hundred weight. And down here at the bottom from Weatherford, they had some that weighed 798, brought up $139 per hundred weight. Butcher cows, they were bringing up to $78 there at the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction yesterday. Butcher bulls, $93 per hundred weight. They had some bred cows, $12.85. Pairs were bringing up to $13.25. Thank you, Mr. Brandon Hickey from the Elk City Livestock Auction and the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. As you guys all know, I'm streaming live on Facebook. You got anything you would like to add to the show? You got some hay for sale? Or you got a cow sale, replacement sale coming up? Or you got a, what else you want? If you got anything to say, just text me in at the KECO Ag text line at 580-225-9697. And I'm going to go ahead and give you the, before we take a break, today's cash prices in Oklahoma as of an hour ago. And they've come up from overnight. So something's happening. Hard red wetter wheat. How do you like? I can't even say that again. Hard red winter wheat, $7.44 per bushel. Corn, $5.42 a bushel. Milo, $5.45 a bushel. And soybeans was $11.84. So they was up from overnight trading. And I'll get to that report here in just a minute. But first, I witnessed this in the field yesterday. And notice I said witness, so that means I didn't do it, okay? You guys, don't be pointing fingers at me. But I have a Jimmy tip of the week for you now. When using a pull-type peanut thrasher, be sure to kick the PTO in along with the header. It puts more nuts in the basket. Anyway, I witnessed that yesterday. And I don't mention names. And unless it's CV over there in the Willow area, if he does it, then I will mention his name. But he didn't do this, but we all got to witness it. But anyway, that header was full. But anyway, good thing it's got a reverse on it. Well, when I come back, I'm going to talk about the soybeans and grains overnight and stuff like that. You know me and my numbers. So stay tuned. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at lmaauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
We had commercial cattle, and as a commercial producer, you're always looking for a place to buy bulls that are going to work well for your program. And as we struggled to do that, we decided to raise our own. And so we started producing the traits that we were looking for to buy in bulls. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
We learned in grade school 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4. So what does quality feed equal? Results you can be proud of. It's simple math with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feeds so you'll get the results you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ads in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm back. And it looks like nothing's really changed except the wind has got up more. So it's still 76 degrees. 23 mile an hour straight out of the south with hurricane gust. Well, we'll go with tropical storm gust at 31 miles an hour. So anything, it's windy out there and you think it's windy today, wait till tomorrow. And that's the news release I got from Lacey for later. So anyway, I'll hang on to that. But there is red flag warnings out today for Oklahoma for fires. Just because it was foggier earlier this morning doesn't mean it's not later on this afternoon. It's not going to be dry enough to, or it should be dry enough for fires to go, especially up and around the panhandle and the Texas panhandle, Oklahoma and Texas panhandle. And I forgot a grain price while ago before we went to break. I got this hot off the news release, although it probably doesn't make a lot of difference to the peanut growers around here that because they already got their contracts, but the weekly posted prices for peanuts this week, $424.89 per ton for runner peanuts, $413.05 per ton for Spanish, and $427.70 per ton for Virginia peanuts. That was hot end from the FSA, USDA. They're going... Hey, speaking of FSA, if you guys listened in Friday, I hope you guys are calling your congressmen, whether it's the senators, U.S. reps, call your state guys and tell them to get on them, because this deal coming up, November 8th, deadline for FSA, NRCS, anybody that's under the executive branch, mandated to have their COVID shots, and I'm not pushing get the COVID shot or not get it. That's your business. It's everybody's own business whether they get the shot or not. That's their deal. That ain't for somebody to dictate. But anyway, seriously, call them and tell them that, you know, our farm service agencies and our NRCS agencies are a big must in a farmer and rancher's life. And some of you, I know, are like, dude, we don't do nothing there. It doesn't matter. These people are local people. Most of them farm and ranch themselves that work in those offices. I know the one in our county, he's a big farmer, but it's vegetables. Anyway, and he does a really good job of it, too. But anyway, go to bat for him. Tell him, you know, at least put this mandate crap off until later so it can be figured out, because my understanding is some of these FSA offices and NRCS offices in the state of Oklahoma, I'm not talking about our listening area, I'm talking about the whole state, they haven't even got the paperwork yet if they're going to use the religious or medical reasons for doing this. And this mandate, this deal's got to be done by the 8th. So get into them. Talk to your people. Call Frank. Call Stephanie. Call all of them. Langford, all of them. Call them and voice your opinion. I don't know if there's anything we can do, but if they don't hear from us, they probably don't think we want to do anything. So get after them. And speaking, that last commercial on my break was Barnes Feed Service. I'm sure most of you people around here know George down there in Hobart. Well, George, I'm wearing your hat today. So anyway, check out my hat on Facebook, George. I got it on. It's a good-looking hat. Goes good with my shirt. What else we got? Oh, here we go. So soybeans and grain steak bearish tone overnight. They were modestly lower in overnight trading as the U.S. harvest stays ahead of the normal pace. About 73% of the U.S. soybean crop was harvested as of Sunday, up from 60% a week earlier. The USDA reports. How are we going to get any USDA reports if they get fired because they didn't go get a shot? So there we go. Sorry, I'd throw that in there. That's also ahead of the prior five-year average of 70%. Corn producers have harvested 66% of their crops at the beginning of the week, up from 52% the previous week and the average of 53% for this time of the last year. Winter wheat planting continues with 80% in the ground. I know 1% of that's me and it's not in the ground. It's not in the ground. Up from 70% last week, but on par for average. The USDA reported about 55% of the crop has emerged, and up from 44% a week earlier and behind the five-year average of 59%. The government released its first weekly condition report for the winter wheat, showing 46% of the crop was in good or excellent condition. That's up from 41% same time last year. There was soybean futures from November. Delivery fell 1.25 cents to 12.45 and a half a bushel overnight. Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal lost 70 cents to 326.50 a short ton, while soy oil was unchanged at 63.14 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery lost 0.25 cents to $5.37 and three-quarters, add that on the end of that 37 a bushel. Wheat futures for December delivery fell 1.5 cents to 7.58 a bushel, while Kansas City futures dropped 2 cents to 7.75 and three-quarters a bushel. And like I said earlier, when I gave the cash prices a while ago, I know they're not quite all the same, but looks like cash prices were up today, so which is good. Up, they're definitely up from yesterday. Inspections of corn, wheat, and beans all declined week to week, according to the USDA in the report they came out with yesterday. Corn assessments in the 7 days that ended October 21st were reported at 545,127 metric tons. That's down 1.05 million tons from a week earlier. That's also down from the 680,823 tons assessed during the same week last year. See, that's how you read those numbers, Butch Black. I heard you reading this morning on your show, and you couldn't get 180,000 out of your mouth. You kept saying 1,800, 18,000, but that's how you do it. Just read the numbers like it says. Wheat examinations for offshore delivery declined to 140,413 metric tons last week. That's down that much, the same amount, 141,000 tons from the previous week, and 339,645 tons that were inspected last year. Soybean inspections fell to 2.1 million metric tons from 2.45 million tons the previous week, and that's they inspected 2.89 million tons assessed the same week last year. Since the start of the marketing year on September 1st, the USDA has inspected 4.71 million metric tons of U.S. corn for overseas delivery, the Ag Department said, down from 6.17 million tons assessed last year. Wheat assessments since the start of the grain marketing year on June 1st are now up to 9.48 million metric tons. That's about what we grow here in Beckham, Roger Mills, Kiowa, and Greer County combined. So that's good selling right there. That's still behind the 11.1 million tons inspected at the same point last year. And then one more thing here. Red flag warnings issued in parts of Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. Red flag warnings have been issued in the parts of Southern Plains, according to the National Weather Service. Extremely dry weather has led to the warnings, which stretch from northeastern Colorado and northwestern Kansas straight south into the Texas Panhandle. Got to cross the Oklahoma Panhandle to get across from Kansas, so they forgot to put that in there. In southwest Kansas, winds are forecast from 20 to 30 miles an hour with gusts up to 45 miles an hour. Relative humidity is expected to drop as low as 12%, and I checked our hourly deal a while ago, and I don't believe ours is going to get down there. I wish it would, so because we got some peanuts to thrash this afternoon, but our humidity's still up there. I don't know if we're going to get that done. In the Texas Panhandle, meanwhile, southwest winds are expected to top out at 33 miles an hour with gusts up to 45. Humidity levels are also forecast to fall as low as 12% there. Gusty winds could blow unsecured objects away. Here's another Jimmy tip of the day. This is going to be a Jimmy tip of the day for some of you silly guys that need to go out there and work on their corner post and do some welding or do some work in the cattle lot, get the torch out. Leave it alone. Save it for another day. We don't need it. We got lots of grass around, and I know it's some of it's still green, but green grass, when the humidity is low, can burn just as good as the dry grass. So just leave that stuff in the house. I got a, before we go to our next break, I was thinking last night was out thrashing peanuts and was moving from one field to the other, and it's a bad deal when I get to thinking. But, you know, I think peanut farming is unique. It's not for everybody, and you got to have the right type of soil for it, and anything can go wrong because that crop's underground and you can't see it. You can go out there and dig up a plant, see what the peanuts are looking like, the vines are looking like, but that doesn't mean 100 feet down the row it ain't as there's something going on there. So I think peanut farming is unique, and I'm blessed to be associated with some people that do it, and I get to help them, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of hard work. I figured up earlier I've slept 9 hours since Saturday night or Friday night. So, you know, we're thrashing, and then I volunteer my services at a certain price per bale to bale up the hay, and it's not easy to bale. So, you know, everything's got to be just right. You got to have water. If I might be right, or I hope I'm right on this, I think it takes about an inch a week after, say, July 4th, starting there. That's when, you know, they start growing good, but it takes an inch of water per week minimum. And you got to watch them. You got to babysit them. You got to watch for pod rot. You got to watch this. And, you know, all crops you got to watch, but peanuts are underground. And I think it's unique. And then the way they're, you dig them, let them dry for a week to 10 days, depending on the drying weather you got. And then to go out there and thrash them. And it's kind of cool. It's a crop that you can actually harvest and windrow it behind your thrasher, whether it's self-propelled or pulled behind, and you can bale it up. And yesterday, it got me to thinking, because what happened yesterday after the show, Tara come in here and handed me a note that to call this lady. Her name was Deborah. And I looked at the number, and it was like a 314 area code. So after I got everything done, I called this lady. Her and her husband were in a Winnebago traveling from Kentucky to Arizona for the winter. So they must have a good retirement plan. And they was got tired of listening to the music, and they switched over to my show. They just caught my show when they was driving here along I-40. And so I called her and I said, "What's happening?" She said, "What is peanut hay?" And so anyway, she said, "I grew up on the farm. I know how to milk cows. I know what alfalfa hay is. I know what oat hay is. I know what wheat is. I know what all this crap is, but what the heck is peanut hay?" And I kind of explained to her, you know, what happened. And I said, it's really good hay. I said, but there's just an exception to it compared to the rest of them, is because you need to feed that peanut hay that winter, because not only do cattle like peanut hay, but rats, raccoons, hogs, deers, every varmint known to man out there loves peanut hay. Squirrels, birds, it's just, it's amazing. Anyway, she said, "Well, thank you for answering my question." She said, "I had no clue." So I texted her some pictures of some peanut hay and how it was made a while ago. So anyway, I know I got one listener out there, even if the rest of you guys don't give a crap. But anyway, so That was a pretty cool phone call. I mean, somebody that actually grew up on a farm but never thought anything about peanuts. So anyway, Well, when we get back, I got some more things to talk to you guys about. We got all kinds of things in the news, some good, some bad, some ugly. So do not go anywhere. This is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, October 25th. 1,679 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 397 brought 191. 14 at 485 brought 167.50. 70 at 602 brought 168.75. 16 at 702 brought 156. 46 at 891 brought 150.35. 8 head of heifers at 384 brought 157. 30 at 520 brought 131. 5 at 614 brought 123. 4 at 713 brought 145. 5 at 798 brought 139. Butcher cows were 15 to 78, bred cows 700 to 1285, butcher bulls brought 70 to 93, pairs were 1175 to 1325. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, I-40, exit 71 in Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Some smart butt text in said, I sound better when I'm tired than when I'm alert. I appreciate all the compliments I can get from my listening area, because that's the reason why I don't take phone calls, because there's that one idiot friend that I got will call in and want to trade some laying hens for a shotgun or some crap. So Jimmy Clark is not taking call-ins unless it's an emergency that there's a tornado coming, but it ain't happening. Anyway, 78 degrees. The wind is steadily getting up since the show started, so that shows you there's a lot of wind coming through this mic. South 23 miles an hour, and the gusts are now up to 33 miles an hour. So it's coming. After our next break, I will promise you I'll give you the Hobart Farm and Garden long-range forecast. Well, as everybody knows, it's Tuesday, and it's Heyday Tuesdays. Oh, we got a text. Oh, here we go. So I got a text in from somebody. I'm not sure who it is. Anyway, they must not been listening to my show, because I've announced this 3 times already in the last couple weeks. But I'm going to go ahead and announce it again, because it's coming up here in a couple weeks. And that's I think that's opening weekend of quail season, so you picked up. Bad time to have this convention. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, the 4th annual convention and trade show for the Oklahoma Independent Stock Growers Association is coming up. It's November 13th, and it's from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. in the Frisco Center at Clinton. It's $75 registration, which includes the meals. For more information, call Joshua. You guys ready? 580-302-3039. Looks like they're going to have a few speakers there. Margaret Byfield, I hope I say that right, is going to be talking about Biden's 30-30. Steve Stratford is Cattle Chat. Representative Justin Humphrey will be there. Roger Givens will be there with the Livestock Risk Protection. And Bill Bullard, RCAF USA. So there you have it. And I have this, and I promise you I'll announce it a couple more times before November 13th. I found it on Facebook here about 2 or 3 weeks ago, so I've already announced it. I got a question for somebody to text me in, see if you got the answer, because I don't have a clue. I mentioned peanut hay a while ago. Cows love it, but so does every other varmint animal in the world. Is peanut hay good for horses? Now, that I can't answer. Horses are a whole different beast, but if somebody knows if peanut hay is good for horses, let me know, would you please? And that'll answer this gentleman's question. Now, there's a lot of peanut hay myths out there that I'd like to maybe not correct, but touch up on. Back in the olden days when they were doing one row at a time or two rows at a time or whatever. Now, they used to go in there and rake that hay together so they'd have a big enough windrow to bale it. And, yeah, they would get some sand in there. And there was a lot of sand in that deal. And the myth is that the sand would the cows eating peanut hay, would wear their teeth down and all this other stuff. Well, nowadays, with this more modern machinery, like the self-propelled peanut thrashers that do 8 rolls at a time, or the pull-behinds that do 6 and 4 rolls at a time, it lays it right there on the ground. And if you know how to bale hay, you can go through there and bale and get limited amount of sand in your hay bales. Then, when you get to the out there in the pasture to feed the cows, if you'll flip that hay bale up on its end, take the wrap off, and as the cows are eating it, the hay, the sand falls down to the ground if there's any. You know, sand's heavier than the hay. So anyway, that's old school stuff. So anyway, don't worry about not feeding peanut hay. Heyday Tuesday. It's Heyday Tuesday. Let's check out some of the hay reports from all over the United States. You know, I love Heyday Tuesdays because we get to go in there and check reported hay prices that was sold. California premium alfalfa is $230 to $330 a ton. The 330 is delivered, $185 to $260 for good. Idaho premium. I just talked to a buddy of mine from Idaho last night when I got in from thrashing peanuts, and it's bad up there. The drought is terrible, and you know, we went through this 5 or 6 years ago. We feel their pain, but North Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, Oregon, Washington, I'm not going to say the C word, but Arizona and New Mexico, and people are hurting out there, and I feel for their pain. But premium alfalfa is $250 to $265 is what people are paying that haven't sold their cattle yet. Let's go on down to Kansas. Here we got some premium, $400 delivered. Good quality alfalfa is $150 to $200. And then what else we got? Let's go to Oklahoma, $180 to $200. For a premium, $140 to $165 for good. And Texas, $250 to $325 on premium delivered, $230 to $260 on good delivered. Wyoming, $240 to $280 per ton on premium, $230 to $230 on good. Let's go to some grass. And I know my grass guy's listening. So Oklahoma's not in here, so I'm gonna go off of his price. Oklahoma grass hay premium is running anywhere from $140 to $180 per ton, and good is running up to $140. How's that? Cover that. But Alabama, I haven't said them before. $120 to $340. Didn't have a D behind it, so I don't know if that's delivered or not. And then good quality grass hay is $80 to $110 a ton. Colorado, $270 a ton for premium. Kansas, $125 to $140 and $70 to $140 delivered on good. And they got a lot of grass hay up there. Those farmers up there actually I know you get, most of you guys know that they swath and bail the highway right-of-ways and the county right-of-ways. If it's on their side of the fence, or I think on the highways, understood if they bid it out, and whoever gets the bid on the state highways. But the counties, I guess it depends on your county commissioner how that's operated. But our good county commissioner we got around here, Elk City, he'd probably just say, "Go swather, but I'm not paying for your flat tires." Iowa, $170 to $200 per ton on premium. Oregon, $300 to $350, and that's one of them drought-stricken states. And then we got Washington, $260 to $265 on premium grass hay. So there you go. There's your hay report for this week. And if I come up with any other, and I know, I got a text message. No, I don't have the tonnage reports or per cost on peanut hay. It's not my cup of tea. Here we go. If peanut hay has lots of sand in it, definitely a no-no for horses. Also, wheat hay, no-no. I got horses. Unless you have lots of dollars for surgery. That's the reply I got. So there you have it. Whoever texted that in a while ago was asking about the horse deal. And anyway, what else we got here? Skyrocketing fertilizer prices and expectations for increased soybean acreages in the year ahead could create a significant change in the price ratio of corn to soybeans. These are very unusual times that we're in with the backdrop of uncertainty created through supply disruptions due to COVID. Just 18 months ago, when the full effects of the pandemic took place, no one likely thought long-term ramifications would have such an impact on so many industries and almost everything in our daily lives. I read a while ago that glyphosate, for all you guys that know that, is up in certain places a minimum of 100%. In a lot of places, I don't know for sure around here, I haven't priced any right around here, up 300%. Everything's going up. Oil's up again today. Your fuel prices are going up. Man, there's just no end to it. So get on the tight ship, because if I read that report last month that I read on our my show, I don't remember when it was, but there was some people listening that the subsidies and government programs for farming and ranches is going to go down at to the most 75% next year. Think about that. If you know, we just come out of the dang pandemic crap, and things were crazy then. You think they were setting us up to take this away. But typically, this is a time of the year when farmers can negotiate with their suppliers for the year ahead. In some cases, that has occurred. In other cases, suppliers can't or won't quote a price or a delivery window. And it is October, a long time between now and spring, yet the inability to apply fall applications and the discomfort producers are experiencing has many on the edge. Not knowing what they will pay or if the product will even be available has many farmers considering alternatives. Excuse me. The most obvious choice for some to plant is more soybeans. So that's what they're talking about. And Brazil is expected to plant more soybeans, which could add to world supply. From a marketing perspective, it may be a good year to defend soybean prices soon. And then parentheses, he's got there now. Though either but purchases from next fall's production are forward sale and buy calls to re-own. This creates a balance of cash sales and the ability to participate in price rallies. For corn, despite trading over $5 on December 2022 futures, the same strategies make sense. Defend high prices and re-own or establish price floors that leave the topside price appreciation intact. Visit with your advisor to determine the best route for your operation. Expect these abnormal times to continue as the world navigates with uncertainty. Futures trading is not for everybody, and I'm one of those guys. The risk of loss in trading is substantial. Therefore, carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your financial condition. Past performances is not necessarily indicative of future results. So there you have it. When I come back, wait a minute, we got a text. Here we go. This is from the person that asked about the peanut hay being good for horses. They said, thank you. This is a good show. And thank you for saying that. Well, when we get back, Long Ranger, we'll finish up the show for today. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at knutsonirrigation.com.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
Every trust is a little bit different. Some of them, those assets may need to grow because they've got to take care of somebody for a lot of years. Sometimes those assets need to maintain, or they need to just support a certain lifestyle. There's lots of different objectives for trusts, and what we do is we determine what the objective is for each trust, and then we do our very best to manage the assets in that trust to achieve that objective. I'm Nan Shiblum, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust in Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Yep, I'm back. Hey, a while ago when I was talking about how unique farming peanuts is, it's a unique crop. I forgot to throw in there some of the bad. That pivot that we were digging on or thrashing on finished up yesterday. But the day before, we started out there close to the pivot center on the north side of the field there, or actually the north side of the middle of the field. And I got to see what insects do to peanut crops. I'm just going to take a wild guess and throw out there is probably 30, 40 rows from the pivot south going. That's the way the peanuts were planted. Anyway, them peanuts did probably a half, maybe probably a third or a half at the most of what the rest of the field done, and what that was caused by before he could get them under control. And he messed with them two or three different times was grasshoppers. That's how much damage insects can do to a crop in a short term. He planted them, a week later they done their damage already. So I'll just throw that in there for a forget. The Holbert Or forgot, not forget. Glad Lacey wasn't here. That'd be another word she could use on me. Anyway, Hobart Farm and Garden, Long Ranger forecast. It's currently 80 degrees, and the wind is south 24 miles an hour, and it's gusting up to 35 right now. Humidity's at 65%. It's hanging in there. We had a lot of moisture this morning. I don't know if it's probably going to drop, but it's not going to drop like that 12% they were talking about. Just to the west and north of here in the panhandles of Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas. But anyway, still be careful out there. It's breezy. Today we're going to get up to 84. 50% chance of severe thunderstorms tonight. And that's the one that Lacey told me, that they're either going to pop up over the top of us or that's going to be to the east of it. But if you do get one over the top of you, you're liable to get a lot of rain tonight. So be careful out there. I don't think there's any tornadoes in the works on this deal, but you never know. This is Oklahoma. Tomorrow, high of 66 degrees, breezy. Thursday, high of 67 degrees and breezy. 20 to 30 mile an hour winds with gusts up to 45 and 50 tomorrow and Thursday. That's what Lacey wanted me to warn everybody about. It's going to be bad. Anyway, it's almost November. What do we expect? Friday, sunny, 69. Saturday, we're back up to 75 degrees. But the lows starting tomorrow night, 48. Thursday night, 43. And looky there. Friday night, 40 degrees. Big warning. I know you guys don't want to hear this. Next week, it doesn't look cool. It's going to be cool. But we got 2 or 3 nights of chance of hard freeze. So it's coming. It's not guaranteed. We're still week 10 days out. But that's in the forecast for next week, hard freezes. Ladies and gentlemen, I know you've been enjoying this nice warm weather we've had in October. I know you loved mowing your yard this month, but get your stuff winterized because winter is here. It's going to be here. It's November. Come on, you know better. Get the hoses drained sometime between now and next week. Get them put up. Get stuff put up. Get winterized. Check the antifreeze in your tractors. Check the antifreeze in your pickups. Especially the farm pickups, and nobody ever checks the fluids or anything in there. But anyway, get everything winterized because winter's here, and the results of not winterizing your tractor, combine, pickup, or whatever else you got out there, fires, machinery's concerned, is not good. And I know somebody blew a radiator hose this last summer and just put water with a little antifreeze mixed back in it. But anyway, get that done. All right, hot off the press right now, Russia has reported a second outbreak of African swine fever, also known as ASF, at the site of the country's largest pork producer. The outbreak occurred in Belgorod or whatever region in central Russia on September 27th. They're just now coming out with this. Oh, they reported another one in the same regions, September 27th. ASF is harmless to humans and poses no food safety risk, but is highly contagious amongst pigs. The disease can be spread by both domestic and wild pigs. The company said it has taken all measures to localize the outbreak. On September 20th, Haiti reported an outbreak ASF to the World Organization for Animal Health. This was the first case of ASF reported in Haiti since 1984. And that was on July 28th. It's the island's counterpart. The Dominican Republic reported its first case of ASF in nearly 40 years. The U.S. remains free of the deadly virus, but has amped up efforts to keep this virus out of the country. In September, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Mr. Tom, announced the dedication of $500 million to expand efforts to coordinate ASF monitor, surveillance, and prevention, quarantine, and getting rid of some activities through the USDA's Animals and Plant Health Inspection Service. It costs a lot of money to prevent an FAD outbreak, but it costs a whole lot more to respond to one. The $500 million investment is the largest commitment to the USDA to prevent a disease, he notes. So anyway, if you don't want to know anything about this, visit ASF or go to porkbusiness.com, find out about it. There's another thing on that. It was they found a vaccine that works on swine for the African swine that they got, the disease that they got in Europe right now. They found a vaccine that'll work, and it's the same one that's in the Dominican Republic. But guess what? It's going to take up to 2 years to study. So think about that. Swine fever, COVID. It only took a few months to figure out our COVID, but it's going to take 2 years to figure out the vaccine on the swine fever. So that's just a food for your thought there. What else we got to talk about today? Oh, this is our local congressman, Frank Lucas, had a little bit to do with this. The USDA is going to spend $1.15 billion on rural broadband. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack said Friday that the USDA will spend up to $1.15 billion to bring high-speed internet services to people living in rural communities. Man, I hope they get some around here. We need to. I'm tired of my TV sitting there with that little circle spinning in the middle at certain times of the football game when I really like to watch it, or when I'm watching NCIS or something when I get a chance to watch TV. But the money will be available in loans and grants to providers who offer service with download speeds of at least 100 megabytes per second in areas that lack high-speed internet. For too long, the digital divide has left too many people living in rural communities behind, Vilsack said in a statement. As we build back better than we were before, the actions I'm announcing will go a long ways towards ensuring that people who live or work in the rural areas are able to tap into the benefits of that. So they will start accepting applications for loans and grants starting this coming month, November 24th. Through its Reconnect program. But Frank Lucas had a lot to do with that, getting that pushed through. And so hopefully we'll see the benefits of that in the near future coming up. I had one other thing that the Elk City Cub Scouts, Pack 140. Everybody knows that. I was in Pack 140 when I was growing up. They're having the Indian Taco fundraisers this Thursday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Carry out only. Come inside to order and pick it up. And then from 5 to 8 p.m., dine in and carry, set and eat, or take and go at the United Methodist Church right here in Elk City. That's this Thursday, Taco Fundraiser. Go help those guys out. It's an Indian Taco Fundraiser. Well, I'm going to go see if we're going to get to thrash any peanuts. If not, I might get back to baling hay since the humidity's so high. But anyway, you guys have a great Tuesday and stay safe tonight. God bless. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.